All right, everyone, quiet down. I know you're all excited about my second podcast, but gotta get started here. Thank you. Isn't this an improvement over last week's podcast? Still, same junky mic. Yep, I bought a new one, but it went on back order, of course. So that'll be here in November, beginning in December. And anyways, Dan bought himself some podcasting software. I think that was a good intro. Ah, thank you very much. Thank you. And anyways, on with this week's topics. Now, the music you hear under me is a tune called Mr. Brightside by The Killers, and that is one Paris Hilton's favorite songs. And I bring this up because I saw a story where one of her co-stars in a movie named Alicia Cuthbert. The movie was called House of Wax. I'll never see it. It's probably terrible. But Alicia Cuthbert says that Paris Hilton can drink her under the table. I look at Paris Hilton a lot. I think she's a babe. She's got a figure kind of like my wife, so, I mean, I'm attracted to that type, I guess. And plus, she's kind of a, she's a dirty girl. I'm always interested in seeing what kind of trouble she's into next. And there's just no way Paris Hilton could drink a lot just looking at her figure, because I used to drink a lot, and I hung out with a lot of people that drank a lot. And no one that can really drink a lot, I guess, to put someone under the table, has a figure like Paris Hilton, or looks like it. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of a goofy story that came out, and I just wanted to put in a word or two about how she looks. I mean, there's just no way she can look like that and be able to drink any massive amounts of booze. Now, yeah, she might be high at the same time. That might help her if she's on amphetamines to keep the booze under control, but I just don't think so. That is the sound you would hear if you were to enter my house unauthorized at any period of time. I have to defend my house and my family, and the reason I own a gun is because, well, basically something happened to me, and I'd like to share that. That's quite the story here. It's absolutely true. It happened about a year and a half ago or so. My wife was 9 months pregnant, and I had a 3-year-old girl in the house, and it was 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and all of a sudden we hear the doorbell, ding, 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 over and over and over again. So I pop out of bed, and I grabbed my baseball bat, which I keep in my bedroom, had kept it in my bedroom, and I go down there, and I look outside my front door, and here's this guy ringing my doorbell with his nose over and over and over again. So I look out there, and I, of course, yell at the guy, you know, hey, what the F are you doing? So he looks up at me. This guy's got his hands behind his back and a towel wrapped around his neck, and He says, call the cops, call the cops. He's trying to get me. The guy's got a gun. He's trying to shoot me. And I'm like, what? You know, we've already called the cops. I go, don't worry about that. They're coming. Oh, they're coming all right. And I, you know, and I'm just like trying to calm this guy down. I'm like, what are you doing? What is going on here? So he turns around and shows me his hands. They're bleeding. They're behind his back, tied with a zip tie. And like I say, he's got this towel around him. He's got one sock on, no shoes, sweating like he just ran the freaking Boston Marathon. And I'm just freaking out at this point. I'm wondering if this isn't a diversion. Someone's going to break in the back. I'm running around the house, checking all the doors, making sure everything's secure. And I'm keeping an eye on this guy. And then I'm starting to get mad. The cops aren't showing up. This guy's screaming at me. I'm screaming at him. My adrenaline's just pounding through my body. Finally, I've had enough. I had this weird thought that around his neck, the towel might have been covering up a bomb or something strange. So I told him to get off my front stoop there. And he wouldn't do it because he keeps yelling he's going to shoot me. This guy's going to find me, all this. And I'm like, what guy? There's no guy shooting or running or anything. So I told him to get off my porch. He doesn't want to. Finally, I had to level with him and say, look, you know, if you don't get off my front porch, I'm going to come out there and I'm going to get you off the front porch. And that's going to be the end of your little party out here. So he moves out into the front yard. And finally, the cops finally came. It took 10 minutes. And you got to remember, the cop shop is like 2 blocks from my house. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't be there in less than a minute. Well, later on, I found out the rest of this interesting story. Just up the road from me, this guy had lived with another guy, and they were having some sort of weird lover's quarrel deal. And the guy had tied him up in a chair and gagged him with the towel. That's what the towel was for. So, and he's keeping him down there. I don't know what for. Who knows what was going on with that. But the guy got away, and he's running away down the street, and this guy's chasing him with a gun. And then the cops show up, because they had been alerted by the other neighbors that, about the noise going on at this place before. So the cops show up. Well, the guy with the gun chasing the other guy starts shooting at the cops. So who are the cops going after now? Well, you guessed it, that guy. He gets in a car and drives away far, far away from my house. Now, every cop within, you know, 50 square miles of my house is chasing this guy into God knows what type of territory. And the other guy just keeps running. Well, at a couple other houses, his life had been threatened already, I found out later. You know, people said, well, I'm just going to shoot you dead if you don't get out of here. So he comes to my house, and finally, you know, that story came to an end. Interestingly, the other guy drove away, stuffed his car into a ditch, ran out into a field, and shot himself right through the head, which I find interesting. I'm glad that had a happy ending, because I did not want to meet that guy. But anyways, this was the experience I had, and that next day I decided that I needed a gun. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone. I encourage everyone to get a gun and get ready to protect yourself. If for no other reason, a natural disaster. Everyone saw what happened in New Orleans, or if there's a dirty nuke from some terrorist, or if, you know, just some lunatics walking down the street and you have to protect yourself. I mean, I really encourage everyone to get a gun and get armed and get trained and assert your rights as a gun-owning citizen. Everyone who's ever listened to popular music knows that last intro to a song is by the group Rush. And I'm going to do a little something here about Rush. I've listened to them since I was a little kid. I remember when they were in their heyday back in the late 70s, early 80s. They were on all the music magazines. You know, Geddy Lee was on the front of Bassist magazine, and Alex Lifeson was on the cover of Guitar magazine, and Neil Peart was on the cover of every drum magazine. Everyone will always, you know, the big discussions in high school were how awesome musicians they were and how cool they were. And I was always a fan of Rush. I think they're good. I like them. I like all their songs. But there's, you know, some things, you know, you say, wow, that guy's really good. Like, for instance, Eddie Van Halen, great guitarist, but one of the best of all time. But, you know, the fretboard thing gets old after a while. I mean, he does it all the time. I mean, he's got it down. We know you got it down, Eddie. Good, you know, do some other stuff. Well, Rush is the same way, and I'm going to pick on Neil Peart, the drummer, a little bit. Awesome drummer, no doubt about it, but he does in so many songs what I like to refer to it as the classic Neil Peart drum roll. And now what I mean is when in almost every single Rush song ever recorded is a drum roll which goes and then a cymbal at the end, or they go on with the song. Some of them are a little faster, some of them are a little slower, but I've picked some samples here, and I think when we get through this, you'll agree with me that, you know, he's good and everything, but, you know, you know, we need to move on to some other techniques. So we're going to start right now with the first one. And this one is off of Fly By Night. On all these samples, I'm going to ease it in, fade it in, give you a little context of the song, and then fade it out right after the drum roll. So here we go off of Fly By Night. Staring back at me from the window beside. No fright or hindsight. Leaving behind that empty feeling inside. Fly by night away from here. Change my life again. All right, you got it? You got the drift right in the middle of that? If you if you recorded this on your MP3 player, you can rewind that about right in the middle of that sample. You hear the... So I've got a whole bunch more examples here. I think this is kind of fun, actually. So the next one we've got is off of the 2112, the Priests of the Temple of Syrinx. So let's listen to that one here. Okay, same thing, just a tad different from the last one, just a little bit different. And now we've got one. Here's one out of off of Closer to the Heart. I think that's one of my favorite ones, because that one's right at the end of the song, and that's almost as if Neil Peart was saying, you know, we're not getting out of the end of the song without me putting in one of these big drum rolls in. So now we're going to move on to Spirit of Radio, one right at the beginning, and then there's a whole bunch of little ones in the middle of the song that I'm going to skip, and then there's a couple big ones toward the end. So I'm going to run a couple, three of these together here, see what you think of this. So a couple big drum rolls in that song, and there's a bunch of little ones in it too, actually. And there's a few more, actually. Let's do one off of Free Will now. That was Free Will, and now we'll do one off of Limelight. My last example of the Neil Peart drum roll. This one's off of Tom Sawyer. Well, that one right there is probably the classic, quintessential Neil Peart drum roll. But anyways, that's my little, I guess, tribute to Neil Peart and how old his little trick sounds after hearing it a trillion times in every single song. But anyways, he is an awesome drummer, but a little monotonous there with the drum roll. My little Rush tribute this week. And that'll bring my second podcast to a close. I apologize for all the little pops and goofy sounds from this terrible, crappy microphone, but we'll get that taken care of in about a few weeks here. And I apologize, maybe some of the recording levels weren't perfect on this. If you find yourself turning the volume up and down on your iPod or whatever you're listening to on this, that's not an accident. That's me not knowing how to record yet, but we're getting better. Anyways, I've enjoyed it. Podcast number 3 probably in a couple weeks here. And you all take care. Bye for now. But before I go, I was picking on Rush a little bit. I want to play a song off of one of the newer Rush discs, believe it or not. It was recorded in 2004. They recorded a CD of 7 or 8 remakes. And one of the ones they did was Crossroads, one of my favorite blues songs of all time. Originally recorded by Robert Johnson, probably back in the 20s or so. Been remade by everybody and their brother. Cream did it really well, but I think they did this one really well. So I want to give them some kudos here. I'm going to play this as my little outlet music here. Outlet, that's a bad word. I'd say my little exit music, better word. Okay, so here we go. Crossroads by Rush off of a remake album. It's called Feedback. And it was recorded in 2004. Bye-bye.